Good morning, everybody. Good morning, good morning. Everybody fitting well, doing well, doing good? That's an encouraging response for that audience preacher into reaction right there. It makes me feel, yes, on solid foundations. No, it's great. It's fantastic to be with you this morning, just to be able to really share what God's sort of impressed upon my heart. You always find, that for those of you that preach here, you often kind of arrive at this point thinking, well, it's all been sung through the worship and through the givings anyway, so I may as well just sit down and we'll all have an early cup of tea. But that's not going to happen. But it's amazing how God just laces things together. This is God's plan, you know, this is God's purpose. And I know the heart of everybody that serves here is just about kind of making way for God to work and for God to move. And so that's what we want to continue doing. That's what I want to continue doing anyway. So what I'd like to do first is give you an insight into my brain. So good luck, everybody. Seatbelts on. And here we go. No, it's not that bad. So where I work at the moment, there's a lot of, not just in sort of the youth sector, but in the sort of children and young people sector. We've got this new curriculum that's coming to Wales. I mean, it's revolutionary. If you want to speak to anyone, speak to James. He's currently studying it. Sorry, James, stitched you up there. But it's revolutionary. It's the first kind of significant curriculum change in what, like 70-100 years or something like that. It's massive. It's huge. But one element of it is it's focusing a lot more on the individual, on the person, and on the kid. So it's not making this kind of the young person fit a system, but it's saying, right, how do we get the system to fit where that young person is at? And there's a lot of kind of training going around how the brain functions and how the brain works and how it kind of ticks over. So what I'm going to do is demonstrate. We've had training in this, so I'm by no way an expert, but in terms of how we function and how we process, there's a really lovely way of understanding the brain using your hand. And if you want to join in, you can. It'll also feel like you're waving at me, which is quite nice. But if you don't want to, you don't have to, because your hand's going to be there for a little bit of time, okay? So if you imagine this is kind of your brain. So I'm going to have to refer to my notes for this because I'm a youth worker, not a scientist. Okay, so if you imagine that the wrist there is kind of like your brain sort of stem and the base of your brain, okay? So that's the bottom bit there. That's the bit where all the kind of the life feeds up into the brain. You've then got this middle bit. So if you fold your thumb in across your palm, that then is essentially your middle brain, if you like, or your cerebrum, or your limbic region. No, cerebellum. Your cerebellum, cerebrum. What's that? It's not even a word. It's your cerebra. But in here, it's like your fight, flight, or freeze instinct. It's your big emotions. It's your anger. It's your sadness. That kind of is what's dealt with in that region there. Then what you've got is you've got this bit, which is called your cerebral cortex, or if you like, your upper brain, your higher functioning brain. And what happens is the brain folds over and manages, the cerebral cortex manages the rest of your brain. So as you're developing and growing up, you're kind of like that. So kids don't have the ability to rationalize reason and logic. They have that fight, flight instinct quite quickly. What we've got to do with kids, we've got to feed their basic needs first. We've got to keep them alive. We've got to keep them alive, feed their basic needs. Then as they grow and they develop and their intelligence develops and they start to manage their emotions, you get this process where the cerebral cortex covers the brain and manages the brain. So what do we think this phrase is called when you get stressed and go, whoop? What's happening? You flip your lid. You literally flip your lid. You're flipping your lid. Okay, so it's flipping your lid. So that's what happened. So there's progressive development. So when we get to a point of absolute anxiety and tension, now we can flip our lid. Now for the majority of us that have had that loving, warm, stable environment, we kind of like, you know, we might kind of pulse and we feel that anxiety and stress. But we have mechanisms by which to close that back down and deal with that, and we have coping and stress mechanisms. Now, for some children and young people, they don't, teenagers generally, and in some instances, the brain is developing up until the age of 25, they're not gonna have those connections for quite a while yet. So their ability to respond to issues is not gonna be the same as you or I. So when you say to a young person who might be a stable, loving, for all intents and purposes, I use the word normal very sensitively and with fear, what is normal, say, why did you do that? Why did you just throw a stone through the window? And they say to you, I don't know. Genuinely, they don't. They don't know. They're not functioning through that higher functioning bit of the brain. They're functioning through this kind of fight, flight, freeze instinct bit of the brain. So as that's developing, these teenagers are learning how to kind of function and how to manage their emotions and how to interact and relate with the rest of the world. When you've got kids that have experienced trauma, that's how they're living. They're living with an inability to close that lid. They're living with an inability to rationalize reason and see the world as a stable, safe, and secure place. And to try and get young people and children. Now, the great thing is there can be healing. There can be. There absolutely can be. That can be done. It might always be inhibited, and there might be a quicker lid flipping than in others, but it can work. And we're dealing with that a lot in work at the moment, and that's kind of running through my head. And the other thing that's always running through my head is children and youth work here in church. Now, there's good reason for it all running through my head. It's because it is always changing. It is always changing. So we always have to refocus. Think about what we're doing, what we're building, how we're growing it, how we're moving on, how we're developing it, what changes are we making? Because it's a really dynamic age range. So for example, 5 years ago, we had an absolute preponderance of 4 to 7 year olds and no babies. And then 5 years on, we've got loads of sort of 9 to 12 year olds and a load of babies. Now, traditionally, they were always in one group together. You can't have 0 year olds and 10 year olds in one group together, is there? We've got some exceptional teachers, but that is really making it quite a challenge, isn't it? So you pick something that's going to suit a 0 year old and a 10 year old, it's not going to work. So we're constantly changing it and developing it. But anyway, you're there going, David, where are you going with this? Hopefully you're leading us somewhere. So what it started me thinking about was foundations and the principles that we have adopted within this church that are embedded through the children and youth work. It got me thinking about that brain. And actually, there are some foundational principles that us as believers throughout our whole life kind of need to keep coming back to. Because if we get that foundation right, if that love, care, and support is there in these kids, they are so much more resilient, so much more able to deal with challenge and change and trauma than those that haven't got that loving foundation and that loving support throughout their life. That is exactly the same as our relationship with Christ, and that is what we try to build and model throughout our children and youth work. So what I'm going to do today is I'm hopefully going to give you a bit more insight into what the kids and youth work looks like with some very, very competent people who are much more expert than me speaking on their different age areas, but then actually relate that to, well, what does that mean for us? What does that mean for us? And it's also, hands up, a shameless plug for more leaders and volunteers, because we always need more leaders and volunteers. We always need more people. So if you're inspired by anything you're hearing this morning, please let us know. Please get involved. We're constantly chasing for leaders. We constantly want people to get involved. So that's the intention. That's the way we're driving. So I'm going to pray, if that's all right, and then we'll get stuck in. Sound good? Yeah, brilliant. Father, I just thank you for the privilege and the joy of being able to come before you and come before you through your word, Lord. And I just pray that your spirit would just lighten up our hearts to be able to receive all that you've got in store for us today, Lord. That we would just be supportive and caring and compassionate to one another as we seek to kind of get direction and wisdom from your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so foundations. So in Psalm 1 really is the kind of the heart, the beginning of Psalm 1 is the heart of what is embedded through the children and youth work, from the little stars, we now have superstars, through to the explorers, through to Heatwave. This is the kind of the value base, the core that kind of keeps us through. So I'm just going to lighten and highlight in what sort of sense. So I'm just going to read the Psalm 1 to you. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sits in the company of mockers, and this is the bit 2 and 3, which is really we're going to focus on, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. The person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do, they prosper. So our little stars, if you like, is really focused on that first chunk of that scripture. Now Beck's going to come up in a bit and share a bit about her heart really and the driver behind that. But whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his love day and night. What we want to do, what we want to feed into these kids from the ages of 0 to 3 is a couple of these key things. We want them just to know they're absolutely adored. They're absolutely loved. They're cherished. They're precious. They're accepted. We want them to know that. We want them to know that they have something unique to contribute, that they are part of us. Yes, there's a lot of support required, but they've got something to give, and they're magical. And as much as we look to invest in them, their very being gives us something back. We learn and we grow from being in relationship with them. And that's that value we want to get in there right early doors, right in at a grassroots level. And there's some scriptures up there that kind of back that up or underpin why we want to do that. But also for us as Christians, I think it's important to remember that as we go through our adult life, we can sometimes move away from the joy of our salvation, if you like. We can move away from that experience of what it is to be first accepted and first loved. And we can kind of get locked into the stuff. Now, that's just life. That's busy. I get that. But pausing to reflect and coming back to, well, what are the foundations upon which we stand? Why am I here today? What is it that I need to do? Or who is it that I need to be? And 9 times out of 10, God will just wants to say to you, look, I just want to give you a hug because you're my kid. I want you to know your love. That is it. That is all I want you to do. I want you to abide in me, and I will abide in you. And we'll work the rest out as we go. But I want you to know that you are loved. That's what you've got to come back to time and time again. Matthew 19:14-15 talks about, Jesus said, let the children come. let them come. The kingdom belongs to such as these. Let them come to me. You know, you don't have to attain to a certain level or a certain status. You don't have to be this preacher or that worship leader, or you don't have to be skilled with language. You don't have to be this academic person. Just come. Whoever you are, just come, because yours is the kingdom, and the kingdom is for the likes of these. So it's that complete childish abandon that once again we come before the Father and say, Lord, I just want to come before you. I am who I am. You know who I am before we were even born. God knows every hair on our head. We don't go in thinking we're masking things. God shines a light into every single aspect of our personality and our character. He knows who we are, but yet he still loves us. It's kind of the third point I want to talk about, really. I'll move on to that. So Romans 5, 6 to 8 says, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us. I love this. While we were still sinners. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Guys, the acceptance came first. The acceptance came first. What we do is we step into the fullness of that acceptance. We don't have to earn the acceptance. That has been done by Jesus Christ on the cross once and for all. The pathway has been laid. The foundation has been laid. The veil has been torn into. That acceptance and God looking at you saying, I love you, step into the fullness of my acceptance. So we know we've got to repent of our sins. We've got to turn away from the life that we're living. We've got to turn away from being our own gods and doing the things that we want to in the way that we want to. But God is there with his arms wide open saying, we love you. That's what we want for the kids, and that's what I really want, you know, to resonate in our hearts, that we're accepted. Every child that comes into there between the ages of 0 and 3 and little size is accepted, is loved, is accepted, is loved. That's sometimes a challenge, because when I reflect on myself as a kid, I was very enthusiastic, brackets, annoying, and I was probably quite difficult to love at times. But, you know, but we pray for God's grace. God, let me see them with your eyes. They're your kids. You know, for this brief period that we've got with them, we're their guardians. What a privilege. What a privilege that God, you would put it on my heart to want to serve your kids and tell them about you. What a joy. That word guardian just resonates in my mind. Oh my goodness. Do you know what I mean? If what a treasure. For that brief moment, God is giving you this magnificent, precious jewel and saying, look after that for me. Look after that for me. For half an hour on a Sunday morning and speak good into it. Treasure it, polish it, clean it. That's what we want to do. It's amazing. And do you know what? God wants to do that with each and every one of you as well. You may not feel like that, but when God looks on you, he's seeing the glory of Jesus manifest in you. He's seeing his spirit alive in you. He is seeing his sons and his daughters that he loves and that just wants to wrap up in his arms. And Galatians talks about, so in Christ, you're all children of God through him, through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Jesus Christ. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. We become part of a pretty ragtag dysfunctional bunch, but we become part of a family. And I know that word family is loaded. I do know it's loaded. You know, some of the kids that I work with, you say family and they'll hate you for saying it, because their connection and association of understanding of family is very, very painful. But what we've got to do is, do you know what? We're here to show you a different type of family. We're here to show you a family that accepts you for who you are, no matter where you are, no matter what you've gone through, no matter what you're going to do. And there's a cost that comes to us as a family. When we talk about this church, we talk about as a culture that you don't step into and become a mold of what is already here. You bring you. You bring something that is unique. You bring something that is different. And we change and we mold and we become a slightly different shape because of anybody that gets added, because we are of all equal value importance. You've been here for 10 years, 2 years, 10 months, 8 years. It does not matter. It does not matter. God draws us into this family that shows us that complete love and acceptance. So before I go on to share a bit of an example around that, I'm going to invite Beck up if that's all right. And Beck's just going to share a little bit about Little Stars, which is magnificent.
Yeah, so Jesus welcomes the little children. And I want each of those little children that come to Little Stars, are 0 to 3, 0 to 4, depends on the individual, to feel welcomed, to feel valued, to feel loved, to feel accepted, and to feel settled and at peace. I think it's really important for such little ones to know that they are comfortable where they are, to know that the people that are looking after them are people that genuinely care about them, that pray about them, and that they feel they can be themselves. You know, little babies obviously just physically need that, those cuddles. But your 2 and 3 year olds want to play, they want to chat to you. And to show that you have a genuine interest by giving them that time, giving them your energy, giving them your focus, makes such a difference in their lives. And I feel that in Little Stars, we can really offer a foundational basic of what they're going to build on in future years in their lives. I think my main aim and my main drive is that each one of them knows that they are loved by God. That has to be the crux of it. And anything else is a bonus if we can teach them anything else. But they have to know that they are who they are because God has made them and that God loves them and God accepts them for who they are. And little ones, this age group that actually we have the privilege of working with, our 0 to 3, 0 to 4 year olds, are a very, very influential age in their life. In fact, the most influential age of their whole lives. They say the children of this age group absorb more than any other time of their life. So my thinking is right. Let's hone in on that. Let's really, really focus in on how we can get the truths of God into their lives. So they're like sponges, essentially. So yes, we do let them play. Of course they play. There's lots of lovely toys and books that they can play with. But we go far deeper than that. Every single week, we have their own Little Stars song, which I've written and which they sing along. But it's about God's truths in the Little Stars song. So they all sing it and do their actions. But then we have a Bible study, in inverted commas, of course, with this age group. But we focus in on one thing about God, one aspect of God, but always coming back to that God loves you, God loves me. And we always pray as well at the end of our little stint together. And all this might only be 5 minutes, of course, and then they might be off playing. But to me, it's vital that they get those 5 minutes or whatever it is of understanding that God loves them. And what is beautiful is that I think almost without exception, whenever we put forward, let's pray, I'm going to pray, would you like to pray? Almost always, one of the children says, yes, I want to pray. And they'll pray this lovely prayer. You might understand it, you might not understand it, but you know, we all say amen at the end. But it's their hearts, and God sees their hearts. And it's just absolutely beautiful. And I've got a little story that I want to share with you, which completely sums up my vision for Little Stars. I've got Lauren's permission to share it because it's about Lauren and Amelia. And oh, my voice makes me cry. It's just the most beautiful story of what God's doing in Amelia's life. I can't read my notes because my eyes are all blurry. So they were driving after church one day, about a year or so ago. They were driving, and Amelia said to Lauren, I made a card for Granddad in church. To which Lauren replies, I know, he'll love that. Amelia says, I've got a new best friend too. Lauren says, have you, chick? Who's that then? What's their name? Amelia says, Jesus, and he loves me, and he loves you. Can we go to McDonald's? And that just sums up what I love about Little Stars. You know, the truth of Jesus gets through, that he loves them, that he loves you too. You know, he loves each one of us. And if they can understand that basic foundational principle at such a young age, then all the other years left, they can be building upon that, but always come back to the rock that Jesus absolutely loves them. Sorry for the tears.
Thank you. Round of applause. Yeah, I think so too. That's brilliant. It's fantastic, isn't it? See what's going on. It's living. It's real. It's active. It's amazing. Now I was going to say let the guys that are in Little Stars sing the Little Stars song. But I thought no. If you want to hear the Little Stars song, you need to volunteer for Little Stars, and you can learn it on a Sunday morning with everybody else. So we're not going to sing it. There you go. There's your, what do they call it, a hook or a cliffhanger or something like that? Anyway, there we go. There we go. So what's happened over the years is we had Little Stars that was 0 to 3, and then Explorers was 4 to 11. So you can imagine the challenges that came with working with 4 to 11 year olds. So we split that group down recently, and Claire is really carrying the heart for this. Claire and Mary together. But it's quite funny. Mary's going to come up and share in a moment, but I've got to tell you the story that kind of precedes that. So I spoke to Claire at the start of the week because we created a new group, 4 to 7 year old, called the Superstars. And it's incredible. And it's just, again, layering and making sure that these young people and these children getting what they need. Because what we want as well is we want excellence. We do want excellence for these kids. We want what is best for these kids as well. So we do aspire to that. We put the effort in. It's not about excellence, but that's what we want. It's about God, but we aspire to excellence for them. And so Mary and Claire particularly have been working wonders with that little age group. So we've almost got like a bridging Explorers stroke Little Stars group, but it's got its own identity in itself. And they were the guys a few weeks ago that came and built a wall and kicked it over. Do you remember that? And then Joe got too excited and kicked Rahab out of the window as well by accident. So, but it's okay. It's okay. We had fun. So I rang Claire at the start of the week and I said, oh, Claire, you know, what you're doing is incredible. Sad she's not here. What she's done is incredible. What she's birthed and built there in no time at all is amazing. It's so, so wonderful. And the 4 to 7-year-olds that are now engaging with it are just so full of life. And, you know, I love it when Nigel's on because they always end up throwing stuff at each other. It's brilliant. It's fantastic. Missiles. It's wonderful. So I rang Claire and said, oh, Claire, would you mind sharing your heart? Absolutely not. No way. Not going to do that. I'm not going to stand in front of people and do it. Mary will do it. So I rang Mary yesterday and told her that she'd volunteered to speak on Sunday, to which Mary was very, very open to that. And thank goodness Mary is really happy to share. But what I've asked Mary to do is just give a bit of a picture about superstars, what it looks like, and the kind of things they do. Does that sound okay? Fantastic.
Well, Claire had a real vision, a real burden for God. She wanted the kids to know more about the Bible. And I joined with her. I said I'd support her. And in that, we want to tell Bible stories, whether you a Bible or a phone or whatever. I took this on as a challenge. Really, I love teaching teenagers and 20-year-olds, but I love 4 to 7-year-olds. I've been inspired over the years by several people. One was my father-in-law on our wedding day. He said, in a quote, he said, the only people that you'll take with you to heaven are your family or friends if they believe in Jesus. And I thought, well, here I am aspiring to be whatever I am with my degree, whatever, you know. And it really struck me. I thought, yeah, that's so true. Everything else will be left behind. But I can, if people are saved, whether it's children, adults, whatever, I will pray for them until my dying day. And these children are like sponges, exactly what Becky said. Another quote my dad said to me, he was very influential in my life, was, he said, make sure you get it right for kids. Kids listen much better than adults. And they absorb everything. So we do Bible verses. We live in quite a godless age. And so getting the Bible out to these people, it would be so fabulous. I pray for the little kids. And I've taken Nigel on board. Because when we did Jericho, I said, I don't think I'm going to manage this one on my own. And a little boy came up to him after a few weeks, actually, and said, thank you so much for telling the story so well. So I thought, right, he's a good raconteur. I'll get him every time with me. So I want to make it fun, so we try and make it lots of fun. David quite inspired me. My own kids quite inspired me when they just want fun all the time. School is boring. I've got 4 kids. I love school. Nigel hated school. All 4 of them hated school. So I thought, because I love fun, I am going to try and make it as much fun as I can. And I think Claire would, and Katie as well, would be in that. And also, you know, I'd like to think that I'm perfect, Nigel's perfect, but unfortunately, our kids very much exposed us without even telling them our bad points. So I realized that we have to set this example, using the Bible as our guide, and that's my passion. My final thought on this is I love to help people. So I just think if I can give parents a rest for an hour, then that is something that I love to do.
So it kind of, it builds in layers. And what's wonderful, you would have heard both Becky and Mary share, it's about the interaction. The taught stuff comes a bit later, so you can actually get into Bible studies. Baby said Bible studies, and kind of, it is a Bible study, we look at verses. But they can't sort of take that much on academically at that age, but they can imbibe the love and the warmth and the environment and the care. When they get older, it's the Bible stories come, but it's the relationship with the adult that's so important. It's that relationship and that interaction, but the stories and the way they come to life and the stuff that goes on in there, it's fantastic, and I really would love you to get involved. So I wanted to do those two sort of sections quite close together to kind of explain why that those foundations are so important in terms of understanding and how we kind of live out life and how we work life out. So I'm going to describe that through the kind of example of lying. Do we all think lying is wrong? Do we generally agree principally lying is wrong? I think I would say that. I'm not trying to stitch you up here, guys. I'm not trying to back you in and then go, ah, you're all liars. But guess what? You're all liars. No. So lying generally as a principle is wrong. I stand by that, right? Okay, I stand by that. Has anybody who has had kids, after your child has asked for the ninth biscuit, said, no more, all gone, finished, knowing that there's plenty more, it's not all gone, and nothing is finished? Yeah? Anyone? Anyone? Well, guess what? That just makes you a liar. So, but the point is what do you do at that point? What do you do at that point? You look at that child and you think, do you know what? He's 19 months. I don't think he's going to quite understand calorie deficits. I don't think he's going to understand that he needs a greater output of energy than he does an intake of energy in order to balance his diet. And I don't think he's going to get that. Do you know what I mean? You make a judgment that for the love, the care, and the compassion of that child at that age, you say what needs to be said so that they're loved and they're supported and they can receive what they need at that point. Now, I'm not saying to get what you want, leave this room and lie to people. I'm not saying that. If you've interpreted that, that's on you. I'm on the mic. I'm recording. I didn't say that. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is if we haven't got those foundational principles right, then it's harder to understand the more complex stuff as it comes in. So when we talk about lying, you know, King David lied to get into the Philistine camp, man after God's own heart. Hang on a second. How do those two equate? How do those two sit in the same room? Because life is tough. Life's hard. It presents us with difficult challenges. It presents us with situations that we've got to make these judgments call. Now, if we're operating from a position where we feel secure, where we feel loved, where we feel safe, where we understand accountability, because we can be accountable if we feel secure, if we feel loved, if we feel safe. We can be challenged if we feel loved, if we feel secure. Do you see where I'm going with this? If we feel safe. Paul's always used the phrase, you can't give a 10-ton truth over a 1-ton bridge. If you haven't got that relationship connection with somebody, who are we to go up to somebody and point the finger at them and say, you shouldn't do that, you shouldn't do this because of this, that, and because of this, that. But if we have a real perspective of the love that God shines into our lives and the acceptance he gives us, then as those layers of that foundation creep in, it gives us a better understanding where we're at. So as Christians, as mature Christians, coming back to that point, coming back to those foundational principles is absolutely key. So that's our little stars and our superstars. We then move on to our explorers. So actually, I think what I'll do before I go into this. Sarah, do you want to come and share a little bit about explorers? These are our 7 to 11-year-olds. There's about 45 of them at the moment.
Yeah, sorry, I'm not as good as everyone, so I've actually had to write stuff down because I was like, David only said a minute, and I thought I speak a lot, so if I get it down, I won't go over. Okay, so the explorers, we look to reaffirm what the little stars and the superstars have, the foundations that have been built, and we look to build on those. Primarily, our heart is just that we want to show the love of God to these children by loving them, by having a relationship with them. We like to, we always talk about how we, when the kids come in, we have the tea and coffee, but that's a really important part for us to actually talk to the young people, say, right, well, how's your week been? What have you been doing? And it's just good to be interested in them and interested in their lives. And I think, like what Mary touched on about living, the way they see you and the way we are is such a huge thing. Is that phrase that people say is do as I say, not as I do. Well, the kids can't, you know, we've got to live it and they've got to see that we're actually living it. So I think that is such a huge part for us because we want them to feel secure and included in all that we do. And I've had some Bible verses that I've just was, when I was praying about it, and I just thought, these are the verses that we strongly, you know, we pray over the children. It's 2 Peter 3:18, that they would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then Colossians 1:9, that God would fill them with the knowledge of his will. 1 Peter 2:2, and that they would long for the pure milk of the word. And we obviously, in Little Stars and Superstars, they can't go too much into depth, but when they get to explorers, they're more used to that kind of sitting down, studying, looking deeper into things and exploring things. So we really want to help them to grow in their relationship with God and to grow in faith and to help to equip them by reading the word and looking into the word. And encouraging them in their own personal study at home by saying, right, look, we're going to do this story next week. Why don't you go home and read up about, or we're going to look at this next week. Why don't you go home and have a look? Over the latter part of last year, we really looked strongly at prayer and how it is to have a relationship with God and how God speaks to us. And I actually gave them prayer journals for them to write down things that they specifically want to pray about. And it's just the incredibleness when they see the answered prayer and God's faithfulness. And they are so lovely. When we talk, me and Tara work together, we often say, right, look, let's pray. And the things that they come up, they're so personal, and they want to pray for each other's family. They want to pray for siblings who are ill. And I just think it's just so amazing when you hear the words, you know, their prayers and their heart, and they're just so unbelievably caring, like Becky shared about little ones, but it's, you know, same throughout. It's just incredible. So they do have a real heart of care for each other, which we really want to, encourage. And so we've recently started looking at character studies. So studies of specific people in the Bible. We're doing the Old Testament at the moment, but think like Abraham, Moses, David, and just showing them that God can do extraordinary things with just ordinary people, and that they don't have to be, you know, they look at people in the church and think, oh, well, they're, you know, they're the leaders, or they're doing this, or they're doing that, and they're adults. Well, God can use them even when they're young, and just to show them how important they are to God. And, you know, God was faithful to them all the way through their lives, and God will be faithful to these explorers all the way through their lives. It's just getting that in and getting them to understand it in a way that they can. So we do a range of activities. We start off normally with maybe the focal point of the story of what we're looking at. And then we do crafts. Some are really good at crafts. I am not very good at crafts. Tara is excellent at crafts, so that's her. Her remit, drama as well. We do some drama. There are a few people, leaders, who are excellent at making noise and doing games. So really, within the, we have like every week, we have kind of say we're studying Abraham 1 week. The leaders are free to do. And I know Suzanne and Catherine are excellent at all that they do, and they always come out with an incredible craft, which just makes everyone else just look awful. their ideas are just brilliant. So it's really creative. You can kind of, with the, you know, within what we looked at as a team that we're going to do, you can, whatever you want to do, the sky's the limit. The other thing I was going to say is that the kids just love asking questions, which is just amazing. And the questions that they come out with are just so funny sometimes. But I think it's great that they've got such a real heart. But because they know us and they're building that relationship, they feel safe to ask questions, any kind of questions that they want to. And sometimes we say, we can't really answer that now, or we'll look into it or whatever. But it's just building that relationship and being together and having time together is just, you know, the most important thing. Okay.
Starting to feel the passion and the joy and the excitement in getting to do this. Do you know what? The passion and the joy, Catherine prayed it, that Christ has over us is immeasurable. We're never going to fully grasp it until we meet him face to face. Paul says we see dimly in a mirror right now, but there's going to be a day when we're going to just see God in his full glory, and we're going to worship, and it's going to be amazing, and it's going to be wonderful. And people will dance to the song Happy Day, not like just clap along like we do. Very British. Yes, yes, yes. Moving on. The second part of the verse that really for me sort of speaks of what explorers is this bit. And Sarah's already shared it, that the person is like a tree planted by streams of living water. So through that root system and through that trunk flows the life. And it's that GIGO, garbage in, garbage out. If you're putting good in, you're going to start to create those pathways that allow the good to come out. So Matthew talks about the heart and how feeding the heart is so important, because make a tree good and its fruits will be good. Make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. And this is when Jesus was talking to the Sadducees and the Pharisees. You brood of vipers, how could you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. So we're addressing the matters of the heart. And the matters of the heart aren't always written on a page or easy to grasp. They're relational. We've talked about that foundational stuff earlier. So speaking to the matters of the heart. And Sarah said it, we want them to know Jesus. And we want them to be filled with Jesus. That's what we want. And that's what everything is aimed at. You know, I didn't know what these guys were going to say beforehand at all. But once again, God is just lacing this all together because he's united us in heart for these kids. And he's just given us a real clarity of vision with what we want for them. And it's like, literally, what do you want for them? We want to blooming love them as best as we can. There you go. There's our vision statement. There's our mission. We just want to love them the best that we can. And everything else falls from that. And, you know, the love that we've received, we want to be able to give out. So Matthew, yes, 7 talks about knowing Jesus. You know, many will say on the day of judgment, Lord, didn't we do this in your name? Didn't we do that in your name? And Jesus is going to say, I don't know you because I want to know you. I don't want to know what you can do. I want to know you. John 7:37 talks about on the last and the greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, let anyone who is thirsty come to me. Whoever believes in me, as scripture, he said, has rivers of living water that will flow from within them. We want them to know Jesus and we want them to be filled with Jesus. That's no different to us. That is no different to us. Let's begin being a people that know we're loved and accepted, that God wants us. God gave up his son Jesus to die for us so that we could be accepted and come to him. Let's know then that it doesn't end there, that once we've become saved, that we're on a journey. And that journey is about drawing closer to Jesus every step of the way, knowing Jesus, being filled with Jesus. The mirroring of what we do with the kids in church is just the same as what we need to be doing throughout our life, you know. And the reason we want to do that is because we ultimately know that we want to be conduits for what Jesus has got in store for them. We want them to come into the fullness of who they are, not necessarily what we want them to be. We've got vision for them. We believe for them. We absolutely believe for them. But they've got greater skills, greater abilities than we could possibly know at this age. You know, we want them to come into the fullness of they are. And it's remembering that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way, the truth, and life. We got to point people towards him. You know, Jesus did away with any kind of hierarchy, any kind of status, any kind of power. It was about inclusivity. It was about belonging and being together. It's why, you know, there's always kind of tension points with why, you know, we have kids running to the front and is it cute? Is it distracting? And like, sometimes they're noisy at the back and you think, well, we want them to be noisy, but at the same time, if people can't hear what's going on. And it is a real, real tension point. And I totally get that. And we're constantly battling with that. My mind sometimes goes to, well, you know, we want them, what are they seeing every Sunday? They're seeing people at the front, contributing, singing, playing drums. Yet when they walk to the front, are we going to pull them back? What are we teaching them? And it's those challenges that we have on a regular basis in terms of how do we engage them? How do we make it real? How do we make it meaningful? How do we not forget us in the picture as well? You know, it's not just about adapting so it becomes just like a massive soft play center. It becomes how do we as a family integrate all this kind of like complex dynamic working into who we are as a people? But what do we come back to? Well, as big a failure as I know I am, Jesus loves and accepts me no matter what. So guess what? He loves and accepts everyone else around me. So I can't judge. You know, I cannot judge. We can't judge one another, but we can love one another. We can do that well. We can do that well. So yeah, that's the kind of the bit about explorers, really. I want to move on to the end heatwave, the older age range. Now, at some point, Chloe will, I just tapped on again. Chloe will be coming in a bit, but she's currently actually with heatwave at the moment. But the next bit of the verse really is it's about that age rate being the 11 kind of plus. Then it's about which yields in its full truth in season. I can't see that. Fruit. Of course it's fruit. It's all been about fruit. Which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither, whatever they do, prospers. We kind of see that 11 plus age range then as a real beginning of a real outworking, character formulation of who they are, a real integration and a stepping into what God has got for them and creating that kind of that structure and that framework for them to step into the fullness of God, what God's got for them in this kind of wider church setting. So James 2:14-7 talks about, there's my little boy just walked in. Hello. Oh, I got no problem with him coming for a cuddle if he wants.
Hello.
Does anybody mind if I go and give him a quick cuddle? Is that all right? Those kind of really annoyingly mushy, proud dads that would show everyone pictures and be like, this is my child. You must love him as much as I do. It's like people are like, nah, mate, I want to go to sleep. but I am. This is what I do. So there we go. So it's James. It talks about faith without action is dead. It's nothing. It doesn't happen. So we want these guys to start putting into practice and putting into action what they feel God is impressing upon their heart. So it's taking that teaching to another level. It's taking it a bit deeper. It's helping them to understand it and assimilate it into themselves. What does this mean for you as a person? Tell us what you think. Tell us what you feel. We want to learn from you. And that exchange with teenagers is wonderful. So as you're thinking about volunteering in your masses now for kids and youth work, which I know you are, that 0 to 3, it's love, it's warmth, it's affection, it's caring, it's cuddling, it's loving, it's gentle, it's creating that sense of peace. For that 4 to 7, and it's that kind of beginning to do that teaching, that exciting, that fun, that really lively, energetic stuff. From that 7 to 11-year-olds, it's more that, right, formulating those ideas, giving them those sort of that depth of understanding in those Bible studies. And then for those 11-plus, it's about that. This is about an exchange now. This is about us learning together. This is about really understanding and analyzing what that means to us. So if any of those kind of approaches appeal to you, then please volunteer. I told you it was going to be shameless. I did say I was going to do this and push this, but that's where I'm at. So do you want a little stars?
A biscuit.
He will go. Do you want a little stars? Yeah. There we go. He loves little stars. He does that. Just his love. He loves his little star. But for those of you that don't know what that is, you've got to volunteer, and then you'll know what that is. So, yeah, so I've talked about James. We also want them to kind of, Ephesians talks about, then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth on the waves, and blown here and there by every kind of teaching, by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of him who is the head of Christ, from him who the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. At each sort of section there, it was in love. We grow in love. We develop in love. It's through the medium of love that this all works. That's what we want for these guys. We want them to know that as they connect, as they give something of themselves, it's through that love and that acceptance. That's the same for us. You might be looking across the church thinking, I've got not a lot to contribute here. I've got not a lot to give. Let me tell you, that's wrong. That's not true. It's not pressured. There is no pressure to feel like you have to do something. But you've got something to give. You've absolutely got something to give. And it might be that you're doing it already, but you don't realize you're doing it because it's so innate to you. You might be going up to people on a regular basis and just saying, hey, how's it going? And giving them a hug. That can be the most powerful thing. That can be the most powerful and wonderful thing. But God has given you something to do that no one else is doing. And then in Romans 12, it talks about teenagers are a blooming nightmare, honestly. Like, does anybody really, really remember being a teenager, honestly, and how hard it is? It's tough. It is tough. Because you've got all this, you've got this kind of, this whole kind of chemical brain development, all this kind of stuff is going on, but then you've got all this kind of social mobility that you didn't have previously. You've got this kind of ever kind of increasing amount of freedom and decision making. You're making decisions that, like, schools will tell you that if you fail your GCSEs, then you'll just drop dead on the day that you receive them. You know, that's why we need a new curriculum, okay? So there's this real pressure, and we work with 11, 12, 13-year-olds, and it's like, what's the biggest thing that's going on in your life at the moment? Stress. 11 and 12-year-olds, anxiety. Waiting lists for young people needing access to mental health support is growing and growing and growing and growing because of the pressures. So, like, having a much sort of social media, if I talk about that, that's a real kind of issue for young people now. It means they're more connected to the world. So generally, it means they're more informed. So they're probably more knowledgeable now about world issues than we ever were, and more empathetic and more understanding, actually. We've got more kids that are sort of teetotal and health conscious than ever before. We've got more kids that are more aware of environmental factors than ever were before. That's the good side of it. But then the bad side of it is you are always being watched. Everything you do, you have to post online. You have to do something. Because if you don't, you're excluded. You know, if you don't do it, then you're excluded from that connection, that social work. So it's a very, very dynamic age group that we just need to kind of love and support them through it. So, but within that, they're unique, and we want them to grow. Romans says, "But by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. But just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, Though many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We belong to each other. There's an accountability and a connection there and a bond. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. And if it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. And if it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. We've all got a role to play. Has anybody had that relationship with that person in work who really doesn't perform, puts a lot of pressure on the rest of the team? Anybody? If you say no, it might be you. jokes. So we had that situation, but there was something about the nature of this guy that made him so important to the team that I was part of. Because wherever he went, he brought positivity. He brought an energy. He brought acceptance. So in terms of his product performance outputs, for 5 years, they were like there. But in terms of what he gave to the team, was priceless and worth fighting for and worth holding on for. Because he, without even realizing it, enabled others to grow. Because he just built people up. He just gave them courage. He gave them confidence just by being himself. So you couldn't tell him what he was doing because he was like, yeah, but it's just me. It's just me. This is what I'm like. We've all got something to give. We've all got something to give, you know. When you mine for kind of coal, there's some coal that comes out at the top, but then sometimes you've got to go a bit deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. And often the stuff that you've got to go the deepest for is the best kind of stuff. But you've got to go the deepest for it. You've got to go through the dirt for it. So what I want Chloe to do at this point, could you tap the window, Pete? She is prepared. There we go. Fantastic. So heat wave has taken loads of different kind of like directions in the last couple of years. And like Steve and Beck have been pivotal. Actually, not just a heat wave. I think of the kids that have come through. You've probably worked with every age range in particular at the moment. And they're up in the castle serving now. They're just servants. But they've had a massive input into people's lives throughout. And there's been a lot of people involved in heat wave that have had a massive input into people's lives. But the reason I wanted Chloe to come and share particularly now is that in the last couple of years, God has been doing some incredible things. And I want Chloe just to kind of share a bit about God's been doing. And remembering that wonderful phrase, we stand here on the shoulders of giants. We stand here on the great people and the great work that's gone before us. So,
okay. So we've been doing Heatwave deeper for the last, I think it's coming up 3 years now. And it's been really encouraging to see. I had a quote on my phone. I've left my phone at the back, but that's fine. But it's basically saying about how, actually, can I get my quote? I'm sorry.
Butcher walks into, I don't know any jokes, so.
Thank you, sorry. So David phoned me yesterday and asked to do this. And the last couple of weeks, me and Pip have been really struggling. So it's just us doing Heatwave deeper at the moment. I think it's so hard because you have to have your heart 100% in the right place, 100% with the youth. And our hearts are definitely there, but it's so difficult with just the two of us. So when David asked me to do this yesterday, I was like, oh, okay, cool. and I was like, right, I'm going to have to be really positive. But actually, I was just praying, and God put my heart right back in the right place where it needed to be. And I was scrolling through Pinterest, and I saw, oh, my phone locked, cool. I was scrolling through Pinterest, and I saw this quote, and it says, a child who is not embraced by the village will burn it down until they feel the warmth. And I was like, actually, that's so true, especially for the kids in Fairwater. Some of them, their families don't really care too much about them. Some of them, their families definitely aren't Christians. I think maybe like one of our youth, their families are Christians. So they don't know what it is to be loved, how we know to be loved by Christians. And it's been really amazing to be able to love them and be able to take them under our arms, and actually probably 5 or 6 of them within the last 2 years have all become Christians, which is really amazing, really, really, really cool. So people like the Ben and the twins and Amy, they've been here since they were 11 and they're 16 now, I think. Yeah, 16. So they're leaving school, which is really exciting. And it's really amazing because they've also become Christians, but they're also now helping serve in different situations. So the twins come along every week to the den, and they're absolutely amazing at all they do, and they're really good with some of the kids there. So it's really nice to see that they've come from non-Christian homes to being Christians themselves. And actually, they plan on getting baptized, which is so amazing as well. Yeah, so lots of exciting things are happening, so please pray for all of us.
I did say that Chloe didn't like need to mention people's names in case she embarrassed them, but she clearly didn't care. So, you know, she's going to do what she wants. Yeah, so just on that point, we are going to be looking to do some baptisms in the not too distant future. So if you are interested in being baptized or would like to talk to me a bit more about baptism and why we do it and a bit of the story behind it, then just come and speak to me at some point and we can have a bit of a chat about that. So are you seeing like a common thread that's running through all of this? Is that we just want to love them at each stage. Chloe said there is, we want these guys that come to this building to know the love that we know. We want those babies at the age of 2, 1 years old, when they go into that room, just to know that they're loved. We want the superstars to know that Jesus loves them and Jesus wants a relationship with them. We want the explorers to know that they can get to know Jesus because Jesus wants to know them and they can have a love relationship. And that's so important for us. And I really hope you've been encouraged. I'm kind of wrapping up now and coming into land. We will be having a time of communion in a bit as well. But I just want you to kind of, like I said at the start, if we had a strap line, our strap line would be, we want to blooming love them as well as we can. You know, that's our strap line. And sometimes, I think as Christians, we just need to know that when we're faced with tough decisions, when we're going through life, the best thing we can often do is just turn and look at our Maker and just say, Jesus, I need a hug. I just need to be close to you right now. I need to know that closeness. And I was reminded of that analogy, and I'll kind of finish on this analogy before we move into a time of breaking of bread. So if the band, it's probably a good time to come up and get yourself ready. It was when I took Jacob on a train for the first time from town back to where we live in Morganstown. And it was this big, old, smelly, dirty train. And he stood on it before we left. And then as we left, it started making noise. It was moving and rattling about. It was smelly. And he became scared. He became worried and nervous. So instinctively, he came towards me. And instinctively, I picked him up and just gave him a cuddle and gave him a hug. The context didn't change, the circumstance didn't change, the noise didn't go away, the smell was still there. But all of a sudden, he felt secure. All of a sudden, he felt confident. All of a sudden, he started pressing the open doors button when the train was moving. But they were disabled, so that's okay. But the circumstance doesn't always change. So when we come to God and say, God, I want you to change this, I want you to change that, that's a good and valuable thing to pray. But first and foremost should be, God, I want to connect to you. I want to see your heart. I want to see the world through your eyes. I want to be in a love relationship with you where my relationship with you and your relationship with me is the priority in everything we do. Because then everything else that comes around that dirty, smelly train, the circumstances, Father, if you want me to weather this storm, the only way I'm going to be able to weather this storm is if I'm fully reliant on you. Lord, if you want to pull me out of this now, the only way I'm going to get pulled out of it is if you pull me out of it now. Lord, if you want me to back away from it, the only way is if I... There's a common denominator in all that, and that's really my heart's cry for you guys this morning, and it's our ongoing heart cry for the children that we've done. And like you can see from Beck, from Mary, from Sarah, and from Chloe, that the heart and the desire that just springs forth from them, it makes it a joy. It's a challenge. It is a challenge, but it's a joy. So I'm just going to pray. The band are going to play, and then I'm going to sort of coordinate some breaking of bread, if that's all right. Lord, I thank you that from the moment that we're born, Father, Lord, from the moment that we can begin to understand what this life's about, Lord, from the moment that we start to step out on our own, Lord, you've been there. You know it. You've done it. Lord, you go before us, Lord. You stand beside us, Lord. You're our protection behind us, Lord. And I just pray that this morning that we would go from here knowing that closeness to you, Lord, knowing that when you died on the cross for us, when you tore the veil in two, Lord, that we entered into a permanent communion with you. We entered into a permanent embrace with you. knowing that when you did that, Lord, it was for once and it was for all. And Lord, as we accept that we've done wrong, as we accept our sinful nature and turn to you and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I want to follow you. I don't want to do it my way anymore. I want to do it your way. Lord, it's at that moment we step into the fullness of what you've got for us. Lord, you pour out your blessing and your love and your mercy and your grace into our lives. And I thank you for that, Lord. Lord, I just pray that as we start to have communion, Lord, that you would really once again draw our attention to you, that you would once again fix our eyes on you. In Jesus' name we pray.